Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is happening now at Sleep Outfitters. This is your chance to save big with up to 65% off mattresses store-wide. Plus, get a free adjustable base with select Sealy mattresses. These limited-time warehouse clearance deals won't last, and with our lifetime price guarantee, you can rest assured you're getting the best deal. The semi-annual warehouse clearance event, only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com to find a store near you.
Hello, I'm Rhiannon, and welcome back to this new series of Grazia Life Advice. I'm very excited to be back with you again. This is a series where women worth listening to give us their 6 best tips for life. And, as ever, we get to hear one piece of advice they wish they'd ignored too. We're kicking things off with one of the stars of Sky's dark and glamorous drama, Riviera.
Hello everyone, I am Poppy Delevingne and I am an actor, sometimes model and ambassador for Save the Children. And today I'm very, very excited to be on Grazia Life Advice podcast.
Model, muse and actor Poppy is our guest this week. You may recognise her from catwalk shots, pat pictures with famous friends like Sienna Miller, or her acting roles, like starring in the Hollywood blockbuster franchise Kingsman, or as the glamorous Daphne in Riviera, a third series of which is about to launch. Coming up, a warning for women everywhere. Do not make decisions during that time of the month.
I've been known to go like food shopping on the first day of my period and literally come back with like 7 crates of Krispy Kremes and a cantaloupe. And I'm like, what am I going to, I mean, why?
We talk about making the switch from modelling to acting.
I soar, like I ache, I kind of, my heart soars, my body aches, I want to be doing that. And I feel so passionate about it that I had to make that decision. And it was kind of, it was a big decision. You know, it's still a work in progress.
And like all our guests, Poppy gives us the worst piece of advice she's ever had. Hers came from her dad, and while she thinks it's bad advice, I think it worked out pretty well for him.
It was that line that everybody knows, which is treat him mean, keep him keen. So I basically spent my whole teenage years being so horrible to boys that I really fancied. What it did do is it did keep the boys at bay, which in turn worked out well for my dad.
It was so much fun talking to Poppy. So here she comes. Hi, Poppy. Great to have you on the show. How are you today?
Hi, Rhiannon. Very, very well. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's brilliant to speak to you. And we're talking to you for lots of reasons. But first off is because we've got a new series of Riviera coming out. So tell me about that. Tell me about what we can expect, how exciting it is.
Well, so coming out very, very soon is Riviera, Sky's Riviera Season 3. It is the return. We still have the wonderful Julia Stiles as Georgina Ryland. This season, you will be taken from Venice to Saint-Tropez to Buenos Aires. There is still just as much drama and grit and excitement, but it's also, I think, a chance for people to sort of almost lose themselves as quite in the sort of adventure and drama that really surrounds it. But it's bold, it's dynamic, it's wild. And yeah, I'm very, very honored that I've been able to be a part of the third season and taken on from season 2.
I think all the fabulous locations and the fabulous costumes, I mean, the clothes you get wear throughout the series are amazing. It's just going to be a real treat for any of us that are possibly like locked down and in our jogging bottoms.
Exactly. It's the perfect kind of show where you can be in your trackies and pretend that you're actually swanning around sort of Argentina in a pair of Jimmy Choos just for a second.
When did you record the show? Obviously it must have been pre-March.
Well, it feels like sort of forever now because we started, I'm actually not in any bit in Venice, which I was really disappointed about. You first see me in Saint-Tropez and we started filming that back in September.
Wow.
And we filmed that all the way through till November. I mean, what a place to live during the winter months. There were no complaints my end. And then January 4th, I flew off to Argentina. It was my first time ever going there and what a place it was. Mm. And I was there until literally right at the end of February. And we went into lockdown 10 days later. So wow. We actually managed to complete filming before lockdown even happened. So we were very, very lucky for that. And it did mean that I spent January and February in Argentina, sort of learning tango really badly and speaking Spanish, but had quite an incredible time doing it and reuniting with old characters and old faces like Julia and Rupert Graves, who's actually new to the cast, and Jack Fox, who plays my twin. And there's all sorts of, you know, wonderful new cast members, but also old cast members that people know and already love.
And it must be quite weird for you because I guess you normally film a series and then you think, oh, we'll all see each other again when we do the promo. And then this year, I guess Julia's in America. And
yeah, I don't think I'll get to see probably anyone. Yeah. I mean, maybe hopefully Jack and Rupert because they're in London. Mm. But that's probably about it.
Yeah, really strange times for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also I wanted to mention you've been working with Save the Children. And what have you been working on recently with them?
Well, so basically during when lockdown happened, I got straight onto the call with Save the Children. I've worked very closely with them as an ambassador for 6 years now and have sort of gone to all sorts of places with them, you know, whether it be the DRC or sort of Ethiopia or Jordan, where I was visiting Zaatari, which is a refugee camp over there. But I got straight onto the call and I was just saying, what can we do? What can we do? I feel so helpless in this time. Is there any kind of initiative that we can come up with? And actually in America already, Amy Adams and Jennifer Garner had started an initiative called Save with Stories, where they were getting sort of familiar faces to read bedtime stories to children online, which would help sort of promote education amongst children, but also help to sort of, you know, entertain the parents as well during these really tricky times. So we basically did the English version, which basically helped to raise funds for, you know, children and families who've been hardest hit by the coronavirus crisis, but also keep them sort of entertained. So it would kind of gave me a purpose during lockdown. I spent all day on the phone to sort of friends of friends, doing emails, asking people just to read stories. And everyone was so generous and so brilliant with their time. And we managed to raise, you know, quite a lot of money over lockdown for it.
Yeah, fantastic. And we're here to hear your best advice and your worst, which we'll do later. And I think your first piece of advice probably fits well into the scenario you're talking about, which is worrying helps nothing. Tell me about that.
Well, instead of sort of worrying gets nothing, it was more sort of, you know, worrying will get you, you know, nowhere. Whenever you worry, there's always a sort of, it's always an indefinite downward spiral from that point. And, you know, sometimes things are just beyond your control. And let's be honest, we all know what it's like to worry. And worrying is just the worst feeling in the world. And it sort of distorts what you're even worrying about in the very first place. And it makes you sort of come at things, you know, at a sort of unrealistic angle, so to speak. You know, since I was a child, I was a chronic worrier. And as I got older, that sort of turned into quite extreme anxiety that, you know, I used to have to do quite a lot of cognitive therapy that would really help with that. And cognitive therapy is all about sort of learning how to focus on present, not past, not future, you know, diminishing all of those feelings and just focusing on the present and how to sort of solve problems that way. that's definitely just a piece of advice that I've taken away with me, I think, since being a young child. Yeah, because as a kid, I just remember always worrying about everything. Was it about my family, you know, and how they were doing? Or was it my friends and what they thought of me? Or my schoolwork and how was I doing? Or literally, it could be the tiniest little thing and I would just be in a bundle of nerves inside, you know, that kind of knot in your stomach feeling. And now, as an adult, I just always say to myself, well, it's beyond your control. Sitting around worrying about it, letting it fester, isn't going to help you or anybody, really.
Was there a moment where you thought, I can't do this anymore, I need to sort it out, I need to find a way to stop worrying? Was there anything that made you realise that you needed to make a change?
Yeah, definitely. I was a teenager, and I think I was at school, and it was completely affecting how I was doing at school. It was affecting my grades, because I was just worrying about things that were sort of not even necessarily in my life, but it would be something to do with family, or there was one specific friend that I was just chronically worried about. And I would focus all my energies on that problem. And because of that, my work really started to suffer. And it was at a time when I was doing like A-levels, and a time where I really needed to be focusing and giving all my energy in that direction. And so, you know, I did that thing of like help, asking for help, which, you know, as a teenager was sort of scary in itself. But I had wonderfully supportive parents, and they were like, you know, we'll find you someone. And I was very sort of, I feel very lucky that they were able to get me a great therapist who could, you know, delve into cognitive therapy with me. And it was just an incredible thing to be able to explore. And once I started doing that, it was really funny, because a lot of my friends really came to me out of the woodwork, friends that I thought were so laid back and chilled about everything, who actually also suffered from kind of quite extreme anxiety and worry. And I started to see that more and more people around me had the same sort of issues, but the more we vocalized it, the sort of easier it became. And now I feel like I'm bigger than the worry.
That's interesting.
But it took a while.
Yeah. It does. It takes the work as well. And I think what is interesting is what you said about it takes energy away, doesn't it? Worry. Like, it's just energy you could be spending elsewhere. And do you now tend to think, do you make action plans? Is it about not worrying and making a change, or is it about completely leaving things and not stressing?
Of course, I will always have, because I was born like that, and I would never be able to just say, right, I've wiped out worry from my life. Of course, I'm always going to, because there's something about worrying that's almost, there's almost an element of care within that. So I just have to address myself. I have to almost, I sound like a crazy person now, but sometimes I will have to talk to myself and say, okay, this is the situation.
Yeah.
Are you going to worry about it? Are you okay? Of course, there's a little element of worry here, but are you able to deal with it? Breathing is something that really, really helps, sort of breathing exercises. And then just knowing that you're above that and it's mind over matter. Mm. And that actually, let's focus all of this energy on sorting out what the problem is. And just eventually that kind of all those worries begin to diminish. Mm. But of course, there's always there. There's always a little niggle somewhere.
Always, for everybody, I think.
For everybody, exactly. I think it'd be impossible for someone to say they never worry about anything, I think. I'd like to meet that person.
Yeah, me too. Can you tell me your second piece of advice? Because I love this turn of phrase.
It's easy for people to say please. It's harder for people to say thank you. I kind of got this, I think, from, I don't know, being in sort of my early 20s and starting out. And I mean, it really just boils down to it's about being grateful and about acknowledging perhaps what other people might be doing for you, other people going out of their way for you. You know, we've all got complicated lives. And I feel like those two words, thank you, it's so simple, but they can just bring so much joy to somebody. And yeah, I mean, I remember on a sort of personal level, I can't remember specifically what it was, but there was, I really, really was so desperate to see. I think it was like a play and I wanted tickets to something, and this play was something I needed to research. And again, it was something to do with school, and I managed somehow to get tickets via a person who knew a person who, and I ended up writing a thank you note, like really simple, just written. And this was back in, this is, sounds so archaic. Now I'm really showing how old I am, because people wrote thank you notes back then. There wasn't email. But I actually wrote a little note to that person saying, really, really simple, just thank you so much. It meant the world, and it just meant that I was able to, you know, get what I really wanted out of it. But thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I in turn got a thank you note.
Wow, yeah.
From this person, bear in mind, I've never met this person, saying, this is the only time in my whole career that I've ever had anyone say thank you or written me a note to say thank you. And it really meant the world to me. From that moment, I was always like, wow, okay, I can see the power of thank you. I can see what it can really do. And if you are really grateful for something, say it and show it. Don't just sort of keep it in, because I feel like it can go a really long way.
Yeah. And in lots of ways, you know, maybe not writing those handwritten notes. Although we had Emma Barnett on the show, and she still sends a lot of notes. She is a big note writer.
Wow. See, I still am a note writer. I mean, I know, like, if there are any youngies listening to this, they're probably going, that's nuts. And of course, I love an email too, but something about a little note, which is just... It kind of goes a long way. It touches the soul a little bit. Yeah. I don't know.
And it's never been easier either, has it, to say thank you? There's text, there's WhatsApp, you know.
There's everything.
It's so easy to be in touch with people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Although I was interested in the advice, because I liked the start bit as well. Like, it's easy for people to always say please. And have you had that a lot? Have you had people asking you for stuff a lot and then kind of not really, you know, following that through?
Totally. Yeah, of course. I feel like there's a lot of people that, everyone. And listen, I feel like you should be able to ask for things. And that's what, you know, friends or colleagues or family or whatever it may be, that's what we're for. We want to help each other and whatever that may be. It's just that sometimes, you know, it feels like some people are just really inclined to ask for something and less inclined to be grateful for it. And so, and I'm sure that I've fallen totally into that category. I'm sure at times in my life where I've forgotten, or I've, you know, again, people have busy lives, but it's just always something that's at the back of my mind, that if I ever ask for help or if I ask for something, that I should always show my gratitude in some way. And just by saying thank you, it doesn't even have to be anything big, but just those two words are so simple.
Yeah. Your third piece of advice, I just wanted to ask you, have you been watching I Hate Susie?
Oh, do you know, it's so crazy, because I'm the biggest Billy Piper fan, and I have not started watching it yet, and it was going to be this weekend's plan, but I haven't. Why? What have I missed? Is there a part of
it? No spoilers, but in the final episode, there's a scene where they talk about how you should always make decisions when you've got PMT just before your period.
You should decisions.
Yes. And I wanted to say, your third piece of advice is, do not make decisions on your period. So tell me about that.
Mine would be the complete opposite, to make decisions on your period. I mean, it's a bit of a family joke, actually, between my sisters and my aunt. We always laugh about it, because, I mean, I've been known to go like food shopping on the first day of my period and literally come back with like 7 crates of Krispy Kremes and a cantaloupe. And I'm like, what am I going to, I mean, why? Why do I have a cantaloupe? I don't even have to get into the cantaloupe, let alone, and the Krispy Kremes, which, you know, great, have a few, but literally 7 crates? I haven't got 50 people coming over. Why? Or, you know, go like shopping for clothes and come back with some ski goggles, even though I'm not skiing, or like a massive fleece onesie. That like just seems really cozy, or just little things like that, where for me, I just avoid making any kind of decision, anything that I have to be remotely decisive. And it's mainly aimed at shopping, but like on the first day of my period, I'm just awful. I'm all over the place and my brain is basically mush. And I always like to try and give myself, I'm not saying everyone can give themselves a day off on the first day of their period, that's nuts. But if I can give myself a few hours in the afternoon or even that evening where I can literally just like veg, watch Friends, eat a pot of ice cream, just be on the sofa, be with myself, have a long bath, put some music on, and just not be on my phone, on email, turn your phone off. I'm just obviously quite a crazy person on their period, which I'm sure many of these ladies are that are listening today. I don't know. I don't know if I'm alone in this, but for me, just don't ask me any serious questions on day one, because you'll just get you'll get something that's just a pile of crap.
Yeah. Good advice. I love that. We'll be back with more from Poppy after this.
Find the perfect space for your business with DRK & Company Realty. Flexible office suites are available. Employees and clients benefit from free parking, front door access, and walkable dining, retail, and hotels at the Polaris Lifestyle Center. Managed by DRK & Company Realty, one of Central Ohio's most trusted leaders, this safe, well-maintained property offers dedicated on-site management and responsive maintenance. Grow your business at an address designed for success at 470 Old Worthington Road. Visit drk-realty.com to learn more.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
We're here with Poppy DeLevine and we are halfway through her good advice, which I'm loving so far. So can you tell me your fourth piece of advice?
Okay, number four, and these are in the words of Cinderella. Have courage and be kind. And a little funny anecdote about this story actually is, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but the first time I ever met Lily James, the Cinderella, was at a friend of ours' birthday. And I kept going up to her and I kept saying, have courage and be kind, have courage. And she was literally looking around going, why do you keep saying that to me? And I was like, Cinderella, have courage. And she was literally running away from me at this party being like, this girl is completely crazy. And she keeps quoting Cinderella's mantra to me. And it's just, I mean, suffice to say, we are friends now. But at the time, I think I probably really freaked her out. Anyway, that mantra for me is just something that is very, very important. I spend my life saying it to my nieces and my nephews and all this, my godchildren, all these sort of important children in my life. You know, it sort of stems from, you know, having courage to be brave as sort of as a young person to stand up and what you really believe in, to have courage to forgive, you know, to look beyond problems. You know, people make mistakes and we're all human. But also the kindness aspect is so, so important to me in terms of, and I'm not just talking in amongst your family and your friends. It can be gestures to anyone that you meet, someone you're sitting next to on a train, just smiling at somebody, being polite, letting them go in front of you, opening the door. You don't know what that's meaning to somebody. And I truly believe that there is a sort of an infinite beauty in that, you know, it's that thing of sort of taking care of one another, especially after what everyone's been through in this year has just been so crazy and difficult. I feel like it's really a time for everyone to really embrace the kindness.
Yeah. And I think the be kind is something that we're all happy to trot out on social media and then we kind of forget about it. And it's being kind when you don't remember to be kind, if that makes sense, isn't it? Not being kind when you have to be, but just because all the time.
Yeah, that it should just be kind of woven into the fabric of your life. It should just be something that is instilled in you. It's not just remembering, but I don't know. I just think it can be just be even the tiniest of gestures could go such a long way. And you don't know how that person you're sitting next to on the train or whoever it may be, you don't know what they're going through or what their day is like or what they're about to walk into. And sometimes it can just be a smile, I think, can change everything. And I don't want to sound cheesy. I just think I just think it's something that we should all really acknowledge and carry with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely in 2020, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Your fifth piece of advice, I love this because I think it's a real it's a real thing that we as women do, because it's about talking to your friends and probably not maybe needing the advice that you're asking for. Tell me about your fifth piece of advice.
Yeah. Don't ask people to confirm what you already know. I am totally guilty of this. It's something that I'm, you know, working on. But yeah, sometimes, you know, when you ask people, but you know deep inside, you know in your gut that you have the answer almost. But it's having that sort of that courage, you know, in your convictions, because they will generally be true, I think. You know, listen to your gut. Sometimes I feel like after I've like had a really good, happy, healthy meal and I'm full to the brim and I need to like make a decision about something and I'm feeling a little indecisive, I swear to God, my happy tummy will talk to me. Your gut will talk to you. I now also sound like a lunatic again, but I promise it's so true. And it's that thing of always asking someone. It's like you want them to like give you that answer, but actually when you know it yourself, you should have that strength and that courage to believe in it. And I know, like, for me, sort of on a personal level, you know, professionally, when I sort of got into acting and I was modeling for such a long time, and it was such a great, I loved doing it and it was wonderful, but I never really felt like I belonged in it. It never really felt like it was my home and it was my calling in life. And I was always sort of umming and ahhing, like, do I want to do acting? Do I want to? And I knew all the time in my heart of hearts that was what I wanted to do. But I felt like I needed other people's encouragement, mm-hmm. or I needed other people's like permission to want to do that.
Yeah.
Where I knew right inside, like, that's what I wanted to pursue. And I didn't need anybody to verify that was my passion and that was my dream. Mm-hmm. So again, it's something that I still work on, but I do think is sound advice that we all really do know the answers, but we ask anyway, but we shouldn't just go with our guts. Go with the guts, people.
Yeah, save a lot of time rather than chatting
driving
for hours
mad.
And
yeah.
When you say about breaking through from modeling to acting, was that something you're worried about? Because obviously it can be seen a certain way and people think of you of a certain way, and all, you know, the model slash actress trope, you know, is a bit of a joke. And how did you find that, like, you know, having saying to people, no, actually I'm serious about this and I can do it?
Well, it was really difficult, and I think I knew from the get-go that it was going to be difficult, and I could have just sort of sat quite comfortably in the realm that I was in, but there was just something that was, you know, calling out to me. I'd wanted to act since I was at school. I mean, I did every play imaginable. You know, when I left school, I did training in it. But I guess I sort of, even though I've never felt that comfortable, you know, it was such a gangly long thing trying to model. I was not good at it, let's be honest. I was really not good at it, but I could have just sailed along, but I knew that there was going to be criticism. I knew that people were going to be like, oh God, it's just another model who's just bored and wants to, you know, do something different. But I had this passion in me that every time I watch a film or I watch something that's, you know, a play or whatever it may be, my heart soars, my body aches. I want to be doing that. And I feel so passionate about it that I had to make that decision. And it was a big decision, but I'm glad that I did it. And listen, I'm still working very hard at it. It's definitely not plain sailing. I still train whenever I can. And I haven't done that many things, you know, let's be honest, but the things I have done, I'm proud of, but you know, it's still a work in progress, but it's just because it's something I really want to be dedicated to. But yeah, for sure, the jump was terrifying, because they're very, I think some people look at them in the same realm, but they're not at all. They're very, very different, and they're different worlds completely. And when I'm on stage or I'm behind a camera and I'm acting for the first time in my life, I feel like I belong. And I didn't feel like that until I was acting and I was 30, you know? And so throughout all my 20s, I felt like a stranger. I felt like I was a joke. And actually, when I'm acting, I feel like this is my happy place.
That's fantastic. And it leads into your sixth piece of advice, actually, which is that you can't please everybody, so don't try.
I always stand by that thing that we are all a work in progress at all times. I definitely am. Mm-hmm. But this one is something that, out of all the advice, all the good advice, it's something that I work the hardest on. I believe that working on yourself is so important. Obviously, life and experience is such a sort of continuous journey. But, you know, since I was small, since I was a kid, I was so intent on pleasing people and obsessed. I literally obsessed about never letting anyone down or hurting anybody or arguing with anybody. And I would therefore, because of that, almost hide behind my truth. But now, after working on myself a lot, I've decided and I've grown to want to embrace, I guess, my truth and live in honesty and live honorably and almost sort of remove the shackles of expectation. Do you know what I mean? And just be me. And if they don't like it, that is not my problem. It's such a strange thing, but it's almost like, listen, if what I'm going to say is the truth and it's going to make that person angry, then so be it. But I can't spend my life pretending not to be something that I'm not, and to just to make other people happy and say things that, you know, they want to hear. Because even though sometimes the truth is hard, sometimes the truth is the right thing. But I'm still very much working on that too.
And I don't think it necessarily conflicts with being kind, which is what I think a lot of women, you know, mm-hmm. we're all prone to misunderstand, is that you not being truthful is being kind, and that's not necessarily the case.
I mean, 100%. It doesn't mean that you have to say, oh no, you look like crap in that dress, or no, it doesn't have to be like that at all. They're both completely different things, but they should also work together in a way that I just believe that if you are living within your truth, all of that sort of kindness will be a part of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And we like to finish on a piece of bad advice because it's usually quite humorous, not always, but in this case, I think it is. Tell me your bad advice you've been given.
It is quite humorous, and it took me a really long time to figure it out, and it's all my dad's fault. But basically, when I was a teenager, it was that line that everybody knows, which is treating mean, keeping keen. So I basically spent my whole teenage years being so horrible to boys that I really fancied, like being so horrible, but like to boys that I was like completely in love with, and they would literally run a mile and they'd be like, that girl's just a bitch. Well, she's just really horrible. I mean, listen, to be really honest, I think the big braces and the long limbs that I wasn't in control of and the big fuzzy hair didn't help either. It wasn't just my dad's piece of terrible advice. But what it did do is it did keep the boys at bay, which in turn worked out well for my dad, because that was all he really wanted. So well done, Dad. You'd be really proud of that. But for me, it was all a bit depressing.
That's so good. I absolutely love that. I've loved talking to you today, Poppy. Thank you so much.
You too, Rhiannon. Thank you so much for having me and for listening to me drone on. It's been such a pleasure.
Poppy Delevingne there. I told you she was full of fabulous advice. What a way to start a new series. We'll see you next time. And until then, please review us if you can, or say nice things on social media, or do both. It's your choice. Just help us spread the Grazia Life advice love. If you can't wait for the next episode, please dip into our back catalogue to hear from amazing women like Emma Barnett, who was full of great advice, and Gemma Kearney, who will provide a much needed mood boost, I promise.